We're going to continue our study today in noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. We're going to be picking up today in the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 34. And this is what the Word of God says, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Now, what I want us to see here from this verse is this. To profess a mental belief in God, or even in Christ, is no big accomplishment. Even the devils believe and tremble. Notice what James chapter 2, verse 19, the Word of God says. "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Belief in the heart is what the Lord requires. Amen. Looking in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, the Word of God says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Belief is in the heart, is what the Lord requires, which involves receiving Christ, not just believing things about him. John chapter 1, verse 12, the Word of God says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Amen. Alrighty, so let's turn to Luke now, chapter 6. And in Luke chapter 6, let's look at verse number 38 of Luke chapter 6. The Word of God has this to say. "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." And this here is a great verse on giving. In a nutshell, you cannot out-give God. Amen. All right, let's look at Luke chapter 7 in verse number 28. In Luke 7:28, the Word of God says, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." What we want to see from this verse is, John was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament dispensation. But the least Christian is greater because John was not born again. And in the kingdom of God, he preached that the kingdom was at hand. But he wasn't in it. Amen. Alrighty, let's look at, again, we're in Luke 7. Let's look, go down to verse 37. Of Luke 7, the Word of God says, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment." Amen. Brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now, the woman in the city, it tells us, which was a sinner. It seems like an odd reading in Romans 3:23, which states that all have sinned. This is due to the Old Testament human concept of sin and sinners. In a technical sense, God has viewed all men as sinners since Genesis chapter 3. But men have not always done so. And God doesn't do so after men enter into a covenant relationship with him. The average Old Testament Jew thought of a sinner as being an exceptionally bad person, such as a murderer, a sodomite, or a harlot. This isn't to say that all Jews thought of themselves as sinless, for they didn't. But they did use the word sinner in reference to the worst kinds of sinners. The rest were thought of as a covenant child of Abraham that remained in good standing. So in a sense, there were two kinds of people, the righteous and the sinners, and God honored this. I want us to take a look in some verses with me. Let's turn first to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, amen. Psalm 1 in verse number 5 with me. So in Psalm 1, verse 5, the Word of God says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In general sense, this remains true even to today. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. But technically speaking, all have sinned and all are sinners. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, the Apostle Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, but Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We also want to look for similar usage in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 26. The Word of God says, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. And in Genesis 13:13, the Word of God says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And then finally in Luke 5, verse 30, but the scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Amen. Now let's turn to Luke with me. We want to look at Luke chapter 9. And when we get to Luke chapter 9, I want us to look down at verse number 23 and notice what it says. And he said to them all, Jesus is speaking, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is a great memory verse for every believer. You see, the cross is to be taken up daily and borne, not put on a necklace and worn. Look at in verse 26 of Luke 9. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. This is a fine memory verse, and not being ashamed of Jesus. Amen. And then in Luke chapter 9, we're still in Luke 9, we want to look at verse 44 together. The Word of God has this to say, let these sayings sink down in your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. To let God's word sink down in your ears is to let it go all the way into the heart. Jesus said to take heed, amen, to take heed how you hear in Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Our ears are only gates to the heart where the real hearing is done. Amen. Alrighty, Luke chapter 9. We're still in Luke 9. Let's look at verse 62 together. Luke 9, verse 62. The word of God says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Here we have another great memory verse. We are to press forward and upward, not backwards and downward like the present evil world. Now let's turn to the next chapter of Luke, chapter 10. And we want to look at verse number 21. The word of God says, "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." And what we want to see here is, note how the Lord delights in giving his truth to babes, to children of faith, while keeping the proud in darkness. Amen. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 11 with me, if you would, the next chapter there in Luke. And let's look at verse number 13 in the Word of God. Luke 11, 13, the Word of God says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Contrary to modern opinion, the Lord is far more interested in bestowing spiritual gifts on people than material ones. Amen. Alrighty, Luke chapter 11. We're still in chapter 11. Let's look at verse number 46 together of Luke 11. And the word of God has this to say. "And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laden men with burden grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burden with one of your fingers." Hence we get the expression, he won't lift a finger to help. Amen. And then in Luke 13, verse 3, the word of God says, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Here is a great memory verse for each and every one of us to memorize on repentance. Now let's turn to the next chapter of Luke, chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse number 11. The word of God has to say, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." This is a great warning, my friends, against pride and self-promotion. You see, my dear listener, humility is what God honors, not self-promotion, string-pulling, and pride. Amen. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 14. We're still in Luke 14, verse 23. "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." This is a twofold ministry of the gospel. Highway and hedges, also worded as publicly and from house to house in Acts chapter 20, verse 20, which makes for a 2020 spiritual version. Now let's look in Luke chapter 16 with me in verse 11. We read this, "If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" Now what I want us to notice here is true riches are found in the 1611 King James Bible. Luke chapter 16, verse 15. Notice closely what the word of God has to say. Pay attention. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So we ask the question, where exactly does that put the Pope, Billy Graham, Joel Osteen, JFK, Elvis Presley, and the list could go on and on and on. Remember this. Anything that man highly esteems in this world is an abomination in the sight of Almighty God. Now, in Luke chapter 16, in verses 19 to 31, the passage is to be taken as a historical account, not a parable. Jesus didn't begin the story by saying it was a parable or that it was like unto anything. He told the story as a historical fact. He even used names, something that is not done in parables. Hell is real. And Jesus was the original hellfire preacher. And of course, in the passage of Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31, we won't read it. I'm sure it's very familiar, hopefully, to all of you listening, or most of you listening, of the rich man and Lazarus the beggar. Amen. What I want you to notice in verse 23, if you would, I'll read it. Let's read it together. Luke 16, 23. And in hell, referring to the rich man, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off in Lazarus in his bosom. Notice how the soul has bodily functions and apparently a bodily shape. This man lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham, which means he had a mind to comprehend Abraham's identity, and he spoke about feeling torment in the flames while desiring to have his tongue cool with water. Hell, my friends, is a literal place of fiery torment. Amen. Now let's look at Luke chapter 17, verses 31 and 34. And the word of God says in Luke 17, verses 31 and 34, verse 31, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Look at verse 34. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Now, verse 31 speaks of Jesus returning during the day. In verse 31, it begins with and says, in that day. Yet, 34 says it will be night. I tell you, in that night, verse 34 begins. What appears to be a contradiction turns out to be a revelation. It can be day and night at the same time. The scientific world didn't know that 2,000 years ago, but they could have known it from reading Isaiah 40:22, which says, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. That fixes the day and night problem. When Jesus returns, it will be daytime on one side of the globe and nighttime on the other. Amen to that? All righty, let's continue. This time we're going to turn over to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 with me, please. In Luke chapter 19, I want us to look at verses 17 through 19 together, if you would. Let's turn there now. The Word of God says this, "And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. Now, this is one of my favorite passages on the millennial kingdom, because it leaves no room for an amillennial view. Amen. According to Jesus, the kingdom will come when the Lord comes. Look at in verse 13 with me of Luke 19. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. So according to Jesus, the kingdom will come when the Lord comes, and it will have literal saints ruling over literal cities. Notice also with me what it says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, that's the millennial, the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Also notice what the Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 11 through 13. It is a faithful saying, For if we be dead with him, we also live with him. We shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And if we deny him, he will also deny us. And if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot divide himself. Amen. So, a lot of people like to use this for this passage to teach you can lose your salvation, but it's talking about ruling and reigning with Christ. If you suffer now for Christ, we'll reign for him in the millennium. If we deny him now, amen, we don't lose our salvation, but we won't rule and reign with him in the millennium. Amen. Okay, let's look at Luke chapter 23. We're going to go over to Luke 23. And look at verse 42 with me, please. Luke 23, verse 42, the Word of God says, And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Amen. And of course, this is the account of one of the thieves on the cross, the repentant one. Some of the new perversions remove the word Lord from the verse, so that the repentant thief is not calling on the name of the Lord, as Romans chapter 10, verse 13 requires. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. He called upon the name of the Lord, that thief. And the moment he died, he went to paradise, as promised by the Lord Jesus Christ, because he called him Lord. He called upon the name of the Lord. Okay, so let's turn next to Luke 24. We're going to turn to Luke 24, if you would. And once we get to Luke 24, look at verse 39 with me, if you would. Luke 24, verse 39. The Word of God says, And behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Of course, Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. And upon seeing the resurrected Jesus, they thought they had seen a spirit. In verse 38 of the chapter, it says, "And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" Because in verse 37, they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. But that is cleared up here. Unlike a spirit, Jesus had flesh and bone. However, he didn't have any blood, since his blood was left at the mercy seat in heaven. And Paul wrote that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Let's look at verse 44 of Luke 24. Verse 44 of Luke 24, the Word of God says this, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." So according to Jesus, the Old Testament consists of the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, with no Apocrypha. Amen. The added books that the Roman Catholic Church likes to add to the Word of God. Look at in verse 45 of Luke 24. The Word of God says, "Then open he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." This is a great verse. If you want to know the Bible, get to know the author. Our pulpits are packed full of preachers who only know what some man taught them. Getting an understanding from God is unknown to many of them. Amen to that. Now let's look at verse number 51 in the Gospel of Luke with me. Verse 51. The Word of God has this to say. "And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." The fact that Jesus was carried up into heaven is questioned by some scholars. Although Luke commented further in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Word of God says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Amen. Now, so we've finished, as we've been doing our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. We began in Genesis, and we're all the way up to the Gospel of Luke. We finished Luke, and next time we'll begin in the Gospel of John, and we're just going to carry this whole through until the study through to the book of Revelation. So when we're through, we'll have some noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible all the way from the book of Genesis to Revelation, and these are just some of them. Like I say, maybe you have some that you'd like to share with me and our listeners. Send them in. Drop me a line. And again, once our study here on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible is concluded, this study will be available on CD. All you have to do is drop me a line, and I'll send you the CD. And again, if you haven't already, I invite you to look at my website, All the Counsel of God. That's allthecounselofgod.com. Run that phrase all together, allthecounselofgod.com, and you'll be at my website, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. We're all out of time. I pray you'll join me next time for the Pastor's Study.